Good morning and welcome. It's a wonderful thing to be able to gather together and to worship in the house of the Lord. Stuart has a few announcements to get us started.
Morning, everybody. Well, first off, let's start with, we have three birthdays today. We have Tom Tripp, Marilyn Olney, and Mary Lou Clady. They are all celebrating birthdays today, and I think Mary Lou's going to play for us.
Thanks.
You didn't know that was going to happen, did you? last Thursday we had our Thanksgiving fellowship dinner, and thanks to Carolyn and Beth, the food was really good. I don't think anybody got sick. And we had lots of good entertainment. We had the Mexican folk dancers come down, and they had about 45 kids. They ranged in age from 4 years old to young adults, and they did, I think, probably about 12 dances. They would tell you what part of Mexico the dance was from, and they had different clothing and everything for everyone, and the music was quite different. It was really entertaining. I highly recommend, if you can see it, to go and watch it. Heart Pantry is still having their Christmas drive. They are going to pick up on December 9th, so if we need to turn in everything. If you're going to give gift cards, I suggest that you give them to Sandy in the church office, and then the Heart Pantry will pick those up over there. Food for Thanksgiving, Jesse over at Valley View Food Bank, they will be taking any food donations through Tuesday down at 107th Avenue and Peoria. This coming Saturday will be the church decorating at what time? 9 o'clock. And Beth is making a beef stroganoff for lunch. So please come, help out if you can. I work on Saturdays, I can't. But it is a lot of fun to see the whole campus come to life with all the decorations and everything.
And there are jobs for people that are mobile, able to get around, but there are also jobs if you can't climb a ladder or hang things up. There are things to do on the table as well. So the more people that come and help out, it makes it a lot easier for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's all I have.
Okay, and Mary McMartin.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You've been seeing me walk around passing out these little letters. Well, I've been handing them out to the volunteers that I'm going to talk about. And because we're having a meeting coming up December 3rd. But the volunteers serve a real purpose, and I want to tell you about it. 2 years ago, we started a program, and we're calling it 365-day prayer, for lack of another name, because we pray for every individual here in our church. And whether you're a member or a regular attender, if your name is on that register when you sign on Sunday mornings, those little black books, be sure and sign in, because we want you on there so we can pray for you too. And what we pray for, basically, if we know something special need, that, of course, is included. But basically, we're asking God to fill our hearts and their hearts, your hearts, with the Holy Spirit. And we're asking that you be guided by His will in everything you do. So that's not a hard thing to do. When we started this, we had The list was huge. I can't tell you how many there were. But we had about 30 people sign up as volunteers. And I've passed out quite a few this morning, but here's how many I still have left to pass out. And each person got a list of six names. And six was a doable list. I was afraid I'd have the whole thing all by myself and nobody was going to volunteer, but boy, did they come through, and I'm so appreciative. Beyond praying for that, keep in mind that this also, there's so much in the Bible that talks about praying for each other. And I'm sure Pastor Tom could quote all of those for you, but I can't. There's so many times that we forget that praying for somebody else, we're not just doing that because they needed something. We're doing that because God asked us to do so. In the Bible, we find it numerous times. So today I'm asking for more volunteers because we've lost a few through death, through attrition, and we have more people that have been coming. And so we have more names to add. So I'm asking for volunteers, if you could take a few names, and each night when you say your prayers, just add a few names to it. And that's all we're asking. And I thank you very much.
Thanks. So if you have not been a part of that team that prays for people and would like to do that, talk to Mary or talk to me or just make a note in the attendance form. You could do that as well. And speaking of the attendance form, Mary had encouraged you to sign that, and I want to encourage you to do that as well. And I go through those each week and pray for all of you. And so if you ever have something special you want me to pray about, you can jot that down in there. We also have a group that meets on Tuesdays and prays for people. And if you want prayers for anything particular for that group to pray about, there's a prayer card in the pew, or you can always just jot that down in the attendance form as well. Harry Ironside once remarked, "We would worry less if we praised more." And then he adds, "Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction." Joseph Addison adds, "There is not a more pleasing exercise of the mind than gratitude. It is accompanied with such an inward satisfaction that the duty is sufficiently rewarded by the performance." So my invitation to you this morning, as we take some time to prepare our hearts for worship, just take some time to reflect upon things in your life that you want to thank God for. Take some time to thank God in preparation for worship. If you're able, please stand and let's sing together, "Come, Ye Thankful People, Come."
We are going to pray together a unison prayer of thanksgiving in which we are grateful to receive and ask God to stretch us to give. Please join with me. We thank thee for food and remember the hungry. We thank thee for health and remember the sick. We thank thee for friends and remember the friendless. We thank thee for freedom and remember the enslaved. May these remembrances stir us to service, that thy gifts to us may be used for others. Amen. Thank you. And in this spirit of, you may be seated, in this spirit of being grateful for what we have received, may we give of our tithes and offering to the Lord.
Lord God, it is especially on this this weekend that we celebrate, or this coming week we celebrate Thanksgiving, that we are very mindful of all the blessings in our lives, the things that we are grateful for. But as Debbie shared, we don't want to just take those blessings for granted or selfishly, but we seek for you to grow within us hearts that desire to be as generous in our giving as you have been generous in giving to us. So thank you that we have the opportunity to give these gifts back to you, and pray that you would use them to your glory, to doing good things in this community, this church, this world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing if you're able, and let's sing together "When Morning Gilds the Skies." Let us lift up our prayers to the Lord. Heavenly Father, there is so much we have to be thankful for. And at the top of that list is your constant love for us. That in the midst of the highs and the lows and everything in between, you are a constant in our lives. You are always there. You are always working for good. You are always surrounding us and filling us with your love, with a peace that surpasses understanding, with a strength to do all things, with a hope that lasts through eternity. So, Lord, in the midst of all things going on, we thank you for you and your presence with us. We lift up prayers as well for people that we care about. We pray for Billy Lewis, help her in the midst of health issues, but also some flooding issues from the storm in her home, and not getting people to come and respond to that. We pray that you'd get things worked out for her to get that remedied, repaired. We pray for Ralph Opatz. Pray for your care for Ralph. We pray for Beverly Brooks. Help her with the physical pain that she's dealing with, some issues with her kidney. Pray for your healing hand to be upon her and your assurance to her that you are there. Lift up her spirits. We pray for Bill Wentling. Thank you that his wounds are healing better. Help him with that, with the challenges of diabetes and with the pain he deals with. Pray for Al Kerr. Thank you that he is out of the hospital. Pray that you renew his strength. Pray for Patrick Floyd. Thanks that he is here. Pray that you'd watch over him and give him a clarity of mind and most of all, a clarity of spirit, a clarity of your presence with him and your love for him. We pray for Evelyn Haas. Thank you that she is back to Pacifica, recuperating from her her fall and her broken hip. Take care of her. We thank you that Shirley Walker is recuperating well from the eclipse that are curing the leaking to the leaking aorta valves. Pray that you continue to renew her strength. We pray also for the people and the ministries of Unity Spiritual Center. And we pray for the Ministry of Justice Center. Thank you for the good work they do in providing help to elderly who are homeless and trying to get people back into a home. Watch over that ministry. And Sovereign God, we pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. We thank you for the freedom we have in this country to gather together on a Sunday morning and to worship you. We pray, though, for people of other faiths in our country who sometimes face persecution. We pray for protection for them, and we pray as well for our brothers and sisters in other countries who sometimes face incredible danger when they seek to be faithful to you and gather together in worship. We pray that you will protect them, and we pray for your strength for them in the midst of persecution to stand strong for their faith, to stand strong in their walk with you, and to keep growing in their relationship with you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And I invite you to sing another hymn with us this morning. We get a lot of Thanksgiving opportunities to sing this morning, but for the beauty of the earth, and you can remain seated for this song.
Thank you.
a reading from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God of truth, Lord of light, open our minds to grasp your meaning. Open our hearts enough to care. We pray. Amen.
Thank you.
We've been walking our way through the Psalms of Ascent. And today is the last of those Psalms. Next week, we'll begin the Advent season, and we'll be looking at the announcements of Jesus' birth and the Mary's Magnificat, and then the great prayer that that Zechariah prays, and on from there. But today, we'll look at Psalm 134. And this is what the psalm says. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. This is the word of the Lord. Pilgrims, on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover or Pentecost or the Feast of Booths, saying together these psalms, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, as they made their way up the mountain. The journey, the physical journey they were on, brought them up the mountain to the glorious temple, to the joy of camaraderie with fellow worshipers, and with the soul-uplifting worship that would take place in the temple. The journey through the Psalms of Ascent from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 is also highly significant. Psalm 120 starts us out in the soul-parching desert of spiritual wasteland. The psalm begins with the groan, "In my distress, I cry to the Lord that he may answer me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." Psalm 120 ends with the lament, "Woe is me, that I am an alien in Meshech, that I must live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I dwelt, had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Psalm 120, it is a plea to the pilgrim to begin a journey not just up a mountain, but a journey away from the spiritual wasteland of despair, of conflict, of deceit, to something higher and better and more life-giving. When we reach Psalm 134, we find that we've actually come not to the conclusion of a journey, not a final destination of our life's travels, but we have come to a new practice that shapes the way in which we can live our lives either on the mountain or in the valley or anywhere in between. Not just at the beginning, not just the end of our travels, but all the way through. Psalm 134 paints a picture of worshipers calling out to those who serve in the temple at night, cheering them on, encouraging them to keep up the good fight of blessing the Lord and of praising Him with outstretched arms. It begins with this wonderful verse, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord." Charles Spurgeon suggests that this could be a picture of pilgrims departing Jerusalem in the darkness of early morning as they begin their travel back home. But they call out to the priests and to the Levites who stood watch in the temple throughout the night. And as they begin their journey back home, they shout out their blessing to the servants of the Lord, who then in turn shout out a blessing back to them in verse 3. I like that picture that Spurgeon paints of this because it reinforces the idea that Psalm 134 is not simply a song to be sung at the very last of your travel up the mountain to Jerusalem, but also at the beginning of your journey back home. That what we find in this psalm can go with us wherever we go and in whatever we face. We began the journey in Psalm 120 in a spiritual wasteland of deceit and conflict, of sin and brokenness. Life in such a wasteland naturally leaves us with a certain level of distress, despair, and woe. And that's what painted that first psalm. But Psalm 134 makes it clear to us that we do not have to remain locked up in a pit of despair. Psalm 134 is full of rejoicing and hope. And Psalm 134 introduces us to a key that can open the lock to that pit of despair so that it can replenish hope within our souls. Psalm 134 introduces us to a key that we can take with us wherever we go. That key is found in verse 2. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. The word hand here in Hebrew is the Hebrew word yad. When you combine the word hand, yad, with the abbreviation for one of the common names of God, Ah, from Jehovah, you have the word yada, sometimes anglicized into the word Judah. Yada or Judah. It is one of the most common words in the Hebrew Scriptures for worshiping God or for praising God. We're having some problems with our alarm that's causing the beeping there. So Mary Lou is going to get that taken care of. And that's what verse 2 is about, though. It's about yada, about lifting up our hands to God. What does that have to do with moving us out of the pit of despair? Consider it from this perspective. What do you do with your hands when your heart is full of despair? We tend to wring our hands, or we bury our face in our hands, or our hands just hang limp and lifeless at our sides. What do you do with your hands when you feel defeated and hopeless? We cross our arms and bury our hands in our armpits, or we bury our hands in our pockets, or we slam our fist upon a table. None of these actions of our hands do anything to lift us out of a pit of despair. But consider the kinds of things that prompt us to lift up our hands or to reach out our arms. When we see someone we dearly love, whose embrace we long for, we run or we walk the fastest we can to wrap our arms around that person. That is the heart of yada. That is the heart of worship, moving toward God with outstretched arms. It is in moving toward that embrace of God that lifts our hearts out of the pit of despair. When a child feels sad or lonely or afraid, the child waddles up to its mother and lifts the child's arms up to the mom, wanting that mom to pick that child up, to be held close to that mother's heart. The longing for God to pick us up out of the mess of our lives and hold us close to God's own heart is the essence of yada, the essence of worship. And it is in coming close to the heart of God, nestling there close to the heart of God, that lifts us up out of the pit of despair. When something wonderful happens to us, we instinctively lift up our arms toward heaven in delight. That too is at the core of yada. That too is at the core of worship. Sometimes worship is our response to the wonderfulness of God. And sometimes it is worship that prompts us afresh to see the wonderfulness of God. So whichever way it is, whether the lifting up the arms and praising God comes first, or whether seeing the wonderfulness of God causes us to worship Him, either way, that doesn't matter. What is important is that that happens, and that in the context of us lifting up our praise to God, we are lifted out of the pit of despair. And then it strikes me that there's one other time that I'm aware of where we lift up our hands. When we've done something that fills us with regret and remorse, particularly when we have hurt someone whom we deeply love, in such circumstances, we lift up our hands in kind of a pleading for restoration of that relationship. That too is at the heart of yada. That too is at the heart of worship. When we seek for things to be set right between us and God, that too lifts us out of the pit of despair. Because we have been made by God as a unity of body, mind, and soul, there is great therapy in actually lifting up our hands. So my encouragement to you, the next time you're feeling really despairing, really discouraged, give it a try. Just that practice of lifting up our hands sometimes lifts up our hearts and our minds, our spirits, to God. But the most important thing is the spiritual aspect of this. Lift up your heart to God. Direct your worship, your praise, your thanksgiving to the God who so deeply loves you. In his book about the Psalms of Ascent, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Eugene Peterson points out, we are invited to bless the Lord. We are commanded to bless the Lord. And then someone says, but I don't feel like it. And I won't be a hypocrite. I can't bless the Lord if I don't feel like blessing the Lord. It wouldn't be honest. The biblical response to that is, lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. You can lift up your hands regardless of how you feel. It is a simple motor movement. You may not be able to command your heart, but you can command your arms. Lift your arms in blessing. Just maybe your heart will get the message and be lifted up also in praise. We are psychosomatic beings. Body and spirit are intricately interrelated. Go through the motions of blessing God, and your spirit will pick up the cue and follow along. And then he adds this. Many think that the only way to change your behavior is to first change your feelings. But there is an older wisdom that puts it differently. By changing our behavior, we can change our feelings. One person says, I don't like that man, so I will not speak to him. When and if my feelings change, I will speak. Another says, I don't like that person, therefore I'm going to speak to him. The person, surprised at the friendliness, cheerfully responds, and suddenly friendliness is shared. One person says, I don't feel like worshiping, therefore I am not going to church. I will wait till I feel like it, and then I will go. Another says, I don't feel like worshiping, therefore I will go to church and put myself in the way of worship. In the process, she finds herself blessed and begins, in turn, to bless. The reason the Bible invites us and commands us to praise God in all circumstances, it is not for the sake of getting us to close our eyes to the problems that surround us and to imagine that everything is fine in our lives. It's not for that. But it is for the sake of training our souls to focus our attention on something higher, more certain, and longer lasting than whatever messes and problems may fill our lives. Worship is the deliberate act of remembering and declaring the goodness of God regardless of the other crud in our lives. It is in the process of doing that that our hearts begin to settle into the truth that God's goodness withstands all of our hard times. True praise is not a pretending that we are happy about everything that's going on in our lives. True praise is a focusing on the goodness of God regardless of whether things are going well or poorly for us in our lives. And in doing this, we are lifted from despair to hope. The foundation of it all is God's initiating, abiding, and lasting love for us. God loves us first, God loves us last, and God loves us all the way in between. That's why Psalm 134 ends with this wonderful benediction. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. The story of our lives and the story of all history is that God takes the initiative in reaching out to us in His love to bless us. And He never stops. God's heart is continually directed toward our good. About this final verse, Ray Fowler comments, how appropriate that this psalm, and indeed the whole Psalms of Ascent, ends not with us blessing God, but with God blessing us. It is God's blessing that makes our blessing possible in the first place. It is God's grace that allows us to draw near to His presence. Perhaps the best summary of this psalm are simply the words from the hymn, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, that's you blessing God. From whom all blessings flow, that's God blessing you. God's love forever leads the way, abiding with us and lasting through eternity. Before our Army became involved in the Vietnam War, Dr. Tom Dooley served as a medical missionary in Southeast Asia, organizing hospitals, raising money to meet local needs, and pouring out his life in service to persons in that land. He contracted cancer in his early 30s and died at the age of 34. On December 1st, 1960, in the depths of his battle with cancer, He wrote a letter from his hospital bed in Vietnam to the president of Notre Dame University, his alma mater. He shared, Dear Father Hesbrough, they've got me down, flat on my back with plaster, sandbags, and hot water bottles. I've contrived a way of pumping the bed up a bit so that with a long reach, I can get to my typewriter. Two things prompt me to send this note to you. The first is that whenever my cancer acts up a bit, and it is certainly acting up now, I turn inward. Less do I think of my hospitals around the world or of 94 doctors, fundraisers, and the like. More do I think of one divine doctor and my personal fund of grace. It has become pretty definite that the cancer has spread to the lumbar vertebra, accounting for all the back problems over the last 2 months. I have monstrous phantoms, all men do. And inside and outside, the wind blows. But when the time comes, like now, then the storm around me does not matter. The winds within me do not matter. Nothing human or earthly can touch me. A peace gathers in my heart. What seems unpossessable, I can possess. What seems unfathomable, I can fathom. What is unutterable, I can utter, because I can pray. I can communicate. How do people endure anything on earth if they cannot have God? It is above all the initiating, abiding, and lasting love of God that frees us from despair and replenishes hope within our souls. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you share with us a key. We all struggle sometimes. We all live in that wasteland of deceit and of conflict, of sin and brokenness where we began in Psalm 120. We all live there. We all know with the psalmist that some level of distress and woe and despair. But Lord, you enter our world so that we don't have to stay locked up in a pit of despair. And you share with us a key. And that key is to lift up our hands, to lift up our hearts, to lift up our souls, and to focus on your goodness in the midst of it all. So Lord, help us. Be with us when we come into those hard times. Help us to lift up our hands. Help us to lift up our hearts. Help us to lift up our eyes and to focus on your goodness, on your initiating, abiding, and lasting love. That will see us through. For that, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand and let's sing together whatever the song is. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing.
Jesus, the name.
Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. May all God's people say, amen. And we do invite you to come enjoy some fellowship next door in Swain Hall.